You may be seated. Well, the song that you're about to hear is from one of my favorite TV shows that I watched growing up. So, Tim, why don't you play about 10 seconds? It's a trick. I didn't watch TV as a kid. No. Just got to make sure that the YouTube ad is gone through. All right, well, we're going to skip that. It's Mission Impossible was one of my favorite TV shows growing up as a kid. Not the movies, but the TV show. You know, the original series ran from 1966 to 1973, and I wasn't around for that, but I did watch kind of the restart that went from 1988 to 1990, but I did see reruns of the original. You know, skip the movies, watch the original. And, you know, Mark, you know. Yeah. If you don't have it, I've got copies of the original. So in the TV series, as the name implies, there were missions of extreme difficulty, usually considered impossible. And the Impossible Mission Force team, you know, they were tasked with trying to do whatever it was. Usually it involved great danger, deception, and a lot of action and drama. You know, they were enthralling to watch. Most of the time you would think to yourself, though, yeah, right, that's not possible. You know, but they could do it through TV editing. You know, so I enjoyed watching that, you know, show Mission Impossible about all these things that seemed impossible. You know, last Sunday night, we had the children's Christmas program here going through another tale, an account of something that we might think was impossible. You know, it's the story of Jesus' birth, where the Savior of the world, God Himself, was born as a baby, born into poverty, in a stable, to a young woman who was a virgin. And a lot of people would put this in the same category as the Mission Impossible shows, saying that this is not possible. So we're reading from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38 today. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. You know, this is a wild story. I've heard it countless times, enough times that I don't even think about how impossible or how improbable it is. And I'm guessing for many of you, It's the same thing. You know, we hear it every Christmas time, multiple times, maybe throughout other times of the year. You know, the fact that God himself would choose to come down to this earth and to take on flesh, to become human, to become a baby born into a creature that is one of the most helpless things on earth, who can do nothing for himself. Not to be born into a wealthy family, a family of a king, but to be born into a poor family, to a teenage virgin, where there would be all kinds of rumors spread, whispering, talking about she's not even married yet. They don't know who the father is. But we have a God that does the impossible. And I want to take some time this morning just going throughout the Bible, looking at all the impossible things that God has done. And we don't have time to go into great detail, into depth at all of them, because we would be here until New Year's. But you can read them for yourselves. We encourage you to go through the Bible and read it in this next year. You know, in Genesis 12, we see that God called Abraham at the age of 75 years old to leave his home country without telling him his final destination. There's a few of you here that are 75 or older, close to it, maybe getting up there. Would you want to leave your home and move to a new country right now? And that's what God called him to do. You know, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and to your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families on earth will be blessed. You know, God told Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars in the sky, as the sand on the seashore. Time came, it went. Soon Abraham was 99 years old. And God told him again, nations and kings would come from him and Sarah. Abraham laughed. Said, Sarah did the same. I'm 99. Sarah said, I'm 90 years old. My womb is all shriveled up. How can I have a child? It's impossible. Well, lo and behold, sometime later, Sarah became pregnant and had a child born under impossible circumstances. Ultimately, through Isaac to Jacob to Judah to David to Mary to Jesus, all peoples on earth are blessed today. And we have Joseph, the spoiled grandchild of Isaac. He didn't know when to keep his mouth shut, so he told his brothers everything that came to mind. He made them so angry that they were willing to kill him. Now, those of you who have brothers, you know how mad your brothers can make you sometimes. And yet Joseph's brothers, they hated him. They wanted to kill him, and they thought, well, why should we kill him? Let's at least benefit from it. So they sold him into slavery for some money. You know, from slavery, Joseph rose to a prominent position in a wealthy Egyptian household. And then he was wrongly accused of trying to rape his mistress. He was thrown back in prison, where he languished for several years. And soon Joseph, though through God, became second in command in Egypt, where he was able to spare the lives of his family. You know, he provided for their food needs and for the needs of countless people. We have Moses, born as a slave to parents of slaves, 400 years after the time of Joseph. At that time, there was a command to kill all of the Hebrew baby boys. You know, the Egyptian pharaoh said, they're becoming too numerous. We need to get rid of them. Have some population control. And yet Moses survived. And he was raised in the household of Pharaoh himself. Moses seemingly threw the chance at power away by killing an Egyptian. And he had to flee into the desert as a fugitive. He remained in the desert for 40 years until God called him to be his agent and to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Keep in mind that Moses was 80 years old when God called him. And Moses led the Israelites, probably numbering about 2 million people, out of Egypt, and eventually brought them to the border of a land that God had promised to the Israelites. You know, this ragtag nation of former slaves was to drive out superior forces, both in number and technology, out of the land of Canaan. You know, an impossible task. There were giants in that land, literal giants, walled cities, huge armies. Well, God took care of Jericho, a walled city that Joshua and the priests and the people of Israel marched around, and the walls crumbled. You know, God used Gideon and 300 men to drive out an army that was so numerous that it was impossible to count all of the men and the animals. You know, God used Samson, a man whose appetites got him in continual trouble, to show God's power to the Philistines. We've got Elijah, who raised the dead. Elijah, who faced off 400 priests of Baal and won the day. We have David, as a small shepherd boy who used a sling and a stone to drive off bears and lions from his sheep, and use that same stone and sling to kill a giant. He became king, and God said, I will make your house remain forever. We have Daniel, taken into captivity, living in a foreign land. He came to great power and became trusted advisors of multiple kings. He was thrown into jail, thrown into a den where there were hungry lions, and yet God kept the mouths of the lions shut, and he protected Daniel. His friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow down before a statue, and so they were thrown into a furnace, a fire that was so hot that the soldiers tossing them in died. And yet they survived that fire without a single hair being singed, clothes were not scorched, and there was no smell of smoke upon them. You know, God took Jonah, a reluctant prophet, to preach a message of repentance, well, of destruction, to Nineveh, and the king and the city repented. We have Paul, a zealous Jew who arrested Christians, took part in the killing of Stephen, the first martyr, and yet God appeared to him And God used him to write 13 books of the New Testament and to start many churches throughout Asia and Europe. We have a God that does the impossible. Throughout the Old Testament, we see story after story. And that's maybe the wrong way to put it, as Lydia saying, it's not a legend. It's not a myth. You know, it is true. You know, time after time where God does the impossible. The people that God chose, they wouldn't be our first choices. Would you pick somebody who is 80 years old to lead 2 million people out of slavery? Would you pick people who had impulse issues to lead the people? Would you pick people like David, who was an adulterer, a murderer, and yet God said, he is a man after my own heart, because David turned away from his sins. And David is in the line of Jesus. Rahab was a prostitute, and she was in the lineage of David. You know, so Christmas time is not just a time of presents, of decoration, of Santa Claus. It's not just a time of friends and family getting together. It's not just a time of peace and hope. You know, Christmas is when we celebrate God doing the impossible. The possible that was Jesus would come down to earth on a war horse, and he would bring judgment upon people that deserve death. But instead, God did the impossible. Where Jesus came down to this earth, God himself came down, took on flesh, and was born a baby. The Almighty God and Creator of the universe becoming helpless, being born to a virgin, not to rule, not to judge, but to save and to serve. So we have a God that does the impossible. And so when you find yourself going, I can't do that, God can't use me, I've made too many mistakes, I'm too old, that's not my gift, I'm not ready yet, give me a few more years. Remember, nothing is impossible with God. It doesn't seem possible that one person would be willing to come down, take the sins of the entire world upon himself. And yet that's why Jesus came down, was born in a stable, so that he might die. You know, the possible is that God was going to send Jesus down to earth and to judge humans for their sins. The possible is that the wages of sin is death, and that's what God was going to give us. The impossible is God's love for us. The impossible is that Jesus came to earth to give his life as a ransom for many, to become sin, so that our sin would be taken away. The impossible is the cross, that Jesus would go to it and he would die so that anyone who trusts and believes in him will have life. You know, the impossible is that we have eternal life and that we can live with God when we believe in God's one and only Son. And yet, as the angel said to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. And so as we finish out the year, as we go into the new year, may you remember this. So let's close the message. Read this with me. Nothing is impossible with God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of the impossible. that you do mighty, miraculous things all the time that we can't explain. And the greatest of that is your love for us, shown in Jesus Christ living and dying for us. So, Lord, when we become discouraged, when our hope is fading away, our faith grows weak, may we remember that you are the God of the impossible. All things are possible with you. I thank you for this great love that you have for us and what it means. Lord, we have the privilege, the opportunity to share this with people who need this news. So may we see the opportunities all around us to share this impossible message that's possible through you. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.